Paul Opsomer is live in studio from the DeWitt area. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Doing very, very well, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Have a good Christmas.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a very good Christmas. Grandson and granddaughter were over, and they're going home today, so Papa will get a chance to rest.
Well, let's talk about this past year. We try to ask questions from the perspective of the opposite point of view. Mm-hmm. And if you ask people who are on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats, and if you talk to folks who are unions, if you talk to people who lost health benefits, who lost pay, who lost retirement incomes, they're not happy about it. They thought that it was unfair. They thought that business was reaping the benefits of this governor and this Republican legislation, and that the common folks who were who were middle-class Americans, if you will, were the ones who took the hit. And as I mentioned to you during a break, I have this friend who was telling me, you know, he works for the state, and he's not sure if he would have done that because he was promised this. Hey, you come and work for us. You come and do this. You stick with us. This is what you'll get. Now you're not getting that.
And I was listening to your program as I was driving in and the interview talking about state employees taking cuts. Everyone has taken a lot of cuts. In the private sector, if you work there, 800,000 jobs in the manufacturing field and in employment in general in Michigan are lost. And it'll be a long time before we get those back. And that was the engine that paid for the benefits and the salary that public employees have. Our goal over the last 12 months is, let's help the private sector get to a point where they can start hiring people again. Because when they hire people and they're making money, those people pay taxes, they spend money, and the corporations then start paying taxes. Let's give those businesses a known, in other words, a 6% flat business tax. You know what your liability is going to be on January 1st next week when the year starts. And that will allow you to better plan. You have more consistency, and you can then, quote, hire people. They're job creators, and that's who we want to help. I see that as a plus. I really see that as a benefit.
Now, what we heard from the opposing point of view is that there is a lot of money out there that can be had in other tax cuts and in other things that are hidden, as opposed to lowering the salaries, the benefits, the health care of state employees. Is that true? Is there a lot of fat out there that could be trimmed?
I think in any large bureaucracy, you hear the biggest and the best thing Ellen Mullally did at Ford was to change the culture within the company, and there was probably a lot of fat there. But it took the fear of bankruptcy to do that. Is there waste in state government? Yes. And I think that's where the individual employee really comes into play. But when you look at government, they don't manufacture, they don't buy raw materials. So the vast majority of the overhead is either going to be payroll, healthcare benefits, or retiree benefits. When you put that together, for some school systems, for example, that's 80 to 90% of their overall cost. So you have to start there and at least look at that as a part of the reform package.
So is it safe to say that cuts to state employees, cuts to education, we're done with those and we're going to have to find other ways to create revenue?
Well, actually, and I think the governor has made that comment just in the last week or two, he's hoping that the cutting is over with, and so am I. It's not a fun thing to do. And I think as we look at business, if we're correct, and business does start hiring, and I think that has happened, the unemployment rate in Michigan has gone down, you're going to see more people employed, more people paying taxes, and the income revenue stream for the state of Michigan will go up, and we'll have more money then to give to K-12, to give to higher ed, both of which I think are very important to Republicans also.
All right. Well, we've already known what's been done this past year. This was an accountant's dream, if you will, just to try and get things cleared up and defined. We know that what's been done this past year. What's 2012 hold?
2012 probably be, I think, just as progressive of a year. Transportation will be a big issue. Southeast Michigan looking at a transit authority.
Because our infrastructure is a mess, isn't it, in this state?
Portions of it. Definitely local government has been on the short end of the stick when it comes to funding for roads and bridges. And so that's something we have to look at. Transit agencies in general are having a hard time because they don't pay their fair share when it comes to the fare box. It pays about 20%. So the rest of it has to be subsidized in some way. So that's something we'll have to look at also.
Were you in favor of giving subsidies to GM and other car companies for the electric car?
Not for the electric car. And I still have a problem with the electric car because it's not paying its fair share on the road. It's not paying any real taxes. I think we do need to implement a vehicle registration fee that's much higher for, let's say, a specific 100% electric vehicle so it pays its fair share.
All right. So as we get through this week and we start a new year next year, what's at the we'll start with a couple of things. You mentioned it, Detroit and the possibility of an emergency financial manager. In that city. I'm someone who grew up in that area. I've been watching the dysfunction in that city and in that school district since I've been alive. The only time I saw it prosper was when Dennis Archer was the mayor down there. It's a mess, and it's going to cost us a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Emergency Financial Manager Act. I think it's one of the best pieces of legislation we passed all year. I totally disagree with the argument that it removes democracy from a system. I think it was put in place through the democratic system. The governor is elected. The legislature is elected. Cities are a creation of state government, Tony. We have a legal obligation to ensure that they stay financially sound. And the EFM law actually is an 18-step law that prevents bankruptcy. We want to avoid bankruptcy. The last thing we want for Detroit or any city is a judge appointed out of Cincinnati, Ohio, that might reside in Kentucky, actually taking over a city here in Michigan. So everything is done from a democratic viewpoint of looking at and working through elected officials, the governor and the legislature, to ensure the fiscal financial solvency of a city.
Now, speaking of elected officials, Bert Johnson on this radio program said that emergency financial managers, they don't work. That's what he says, and they've got a history of not working.
I don't think that's true at all. I think what happens is they do go into a city or school system. They work. They solve the problem. They then leave, and they go back to the same either, as the review team said for the city of Detroit, they either refuse to deal with the issue or they don't have the ability to deal with the financial problems. And I think they go back into that same setting. And then they end up going back into a fiscal distress situation.
Now, looking at the review team, Andy Dillon, the treasurer, is on there. But I've heard people say that people will be put in place for this team that don't know Detroit and know what's going on in Detroit. Well, I look at a former Detroit police chief. I see a former Wayne State University president. I see accountants. I see CEOs. And I've even heard race drop that there probably won't be enough representation there. And out of the 10 people named, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are African Americans. So it looks like the governor found some equal representation from Detroiters.
I saw the article, and I know Representative Stapleton real well, and she commented in the article that she was glad to see people appointed that knew Detroit that were either living and or born and raised in Detroit. And I agree with her. I think the governor, the Senate Majority Leader, and the House Speaker did an excellent job of selecting people who really do live and breathe Detroit.
Okay, you and I talk bridge on this program. And you,
a lot of times.
You were the one that brought up the fact that we wanted to make sure how this was going to be paid for, because we keep hearing that no Michigan tax dollars will be used towards this. And you said you were wondering whether there'd be enough revenue coming in from the tolls. Well, the governor on this program said that no matter how long it takes, the only payback to Canada to pay for that bridge will come from the tolls. It may take a little longer than it was anticipated, but that's the plan.
And I've heard that said by a lot of different people. Currently, there's a lot of legislators who have a lot of mistrust of the future system.
You sound skeptical of that.
That's the word I've been using with a lot of different radio and TV programs. There's still a lot of skeptics feeling that that's probably not how it's going to work out.
Well, how is it going to work out then?
The fear is that down the road, once the bridge is actually completed and the tolls are substantially short of the revenues that are needed, that they'll come back to the legislature and say, hey, I know we said we wouldn't. However, we need a lot of money. and they're going to be asking probably Ontario and probably the state of Michigan. So it's definitely a possibility, and I know the governor will be working with us again this year to work on the bridge, and it's something that we'd like to work with.
Yeah, but isn't that crying wolf, though? I mean,
I just look at the Michigan State Police Headquarters building. When that was initially approved in 2007, the governor very clearly said, Granholm, if you don't like it, then don't approve the money. And then we'll build it, and then we won't have to occupy it. And that always changes. When the building is there, the bank who loaned the money, the contractor who built the building, the financer, Joel Ferguson, all started squeezing people. The governor started squeezing people and said, hey, we have to have the money. We have to move in. You need to approve this.
Okay, what's at the top of your list for 2012?
I think probably for the governor and the legislature, personal property tax is something that they'll be looking at, wanting to reform. I chair transportation, so I know transportation will be a major component of what we accomplish next year. So looking forward to working with that. We did the teacher tenure package, and a part of that was an evaluation system coming in for teachers in the state of Michigan in the K-12 system. And there should be a report for us to look at in April to put together an evaluation package for teachers in the state of Michigan.
As someone who grew up in New York and has lived in big cities, I'm used to using transit. And I think people don't understand how fun and how convenient it is. It's too bad we don't have a better transit system or that people don't take advantage of what we do have.
Yeah, Michigan seems not to enjoy or want to work with transit. When I was in the private sector, we had an office in D.C., and it took me a while. But once I got used to the metro there, there's no other way to get around the greater D.C., Virginia, Maryland area than the metro. And there seems to be a reluctance in Michigan for transit.
All right. We appreciated you over this last year. We ask you tough stuff, and no matter what it is, you answer the questions, and we appreciate your time greatly.
Hey, no problem. Thank you very much, Tony.